And so the passage that we read in a chapter in Gospel of Luke, the depiction of the Passover between with the Lord Jesus and his disciples is that which I would like to bring to us in our time together this morning. It is, in fact, a very unusual depiction that we have, and only familiarity takes away from the unusual nature of it. Lord Jesus, of course, from the time of Peter's confession that he's the Messiah, has been openly discussing, revealing with his apostles that he's going to die. And he reveals that in an increasingly open fashion. And not only that he has to die, but that he'll be betrayed, that it would be the leaders of the people, the religious leaders, who will seize him and bring him to a supposed judgment, and that his suffering will be needful, not merely a thing, but a needful thing. And certainly there has been a ratcheting up, if you will, of pressure in this last week as he's there in Jerusalem teaching daily in the temple. And so there is that sense as they come for the Passover meal. But there is no particular correlation of the Passover with that death. The Passover is Passover. And Christ's death is that which is hanging over them, but they are separate events. But the Lord Jesus, as they proceed with the meal, all of a sudden brings them together in a sharp fashion. So they have the bread, and all of a sudden, and we don't necessarily, because I say of familiarity, all of a sudden he says, "This is my body. This is my body." And so that which, instead of now just being a piece of the Passover, it is now this death which he is to die, and it is a remembrance which he calls them to in an ongoing fashion. "This is my body," he says. So he's referring at the same time to his coming death. And because this is the Passover, this coming death becomes sacrifice. It's clear. "This is my body." Oh, this is a sacrifice toward the Father. Then it becomes clear that he is the Passover lamb. But more than that, that they are to view it that way and be remembering it that way. He calls them to that. "This is my body, which is for you. Do this piece of the Passover, in remembrance of me." So we have a once-for-all sacrifice toward the Father, and then secondly, our repeated reception of it. So he's not saying, "I'm going to die multiple times." He's going to die once. But there is a repeated reception of it that he calls us to by means of bread and wine. Do this in remembrance. So he expects us then to see double, if you will, and that's what he brought them to. It's the sacrifice seen through. The sacrifice seen through bread and wine. Now, we also have to notice the nature of his saying that. It is very telling the way in which the Lord Jesus says this. So there is bread that he is breaking and giving. And then he says, "This is my body." And it is disturbing. It changes the paradigm entirely. They are looking backward toward the liberation of the Israelites from the Egyptians and their liberation in terms of from the angel of death. And here, the Lord Jesus says, "This is my body." You could even say there's an emphasis there on my body. The Lord Jesus is now taking on himself a priestly function, a priestly outlook. He is saying, "I am the great high priest." It's not merely, well, there is a sacrifice to be offered. And the Jewish leaders and the Romans unwittingly are going to offer it. They're going to kill me, and the Father is going to accept that killing as a sacrifice. Would God accept the Romans as priests? Clearly not. There's a declaration here that the Lord Jesus is the high priest. The priests as a group, the subgroup of the Levites, were exclusive to sacrifice. Only they, under the Mosaic law, could sacrifice. And then the subgroup, the descendants of Aaron, were allowed, called on to enter the holy place. The Lord Jesus is here declaring himself to not just be a priest and not just be the high priest, but the great high priest. He is the God-man, both the offerer and the sacrifice. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, said that we had to have one who was made like his brethren in all things. In other words, that he is, we have a reference here to the Lord Jesus as both God and man. Made like. There's a transformation described here. That he became man for us and our salvation. But he always has been the Son of the Father. We had need of such a one to sacrifice. God and man. And thus, we see him described throughout the book of Hebrews as the great high priest. Not just a high priest coming from nowhere, the great high priest, God and man, offered for us. We have great need of that. How do we view this? The Lord Jesus was not making abstract statements there around the table, if you will, with the Passover. He's making very personal statement. This is my body, which is given for you. Now, we don't have such personal statements elsewhere. Matthew 20, we have a statement, the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, that is indicative of the number of the elect. So it's circumscribed and it's personal in that sense. But we don't have a for you elsewhere. For you. And notice the personalness. It is to be received in a personal manner from the hand of the Lord Jesus. There is a closeness, there is a reality of reception that mirrors the reality of God's wrath averted toward me. Not just, you know, God's wrath is revealed from heaven. That's general. God's wrath has been revealed against me and averted from me by the death of the Lord Jesus. There is a reality of reconciliation that is received here. Again, one death, many receptions. For the Lord Jesus says, for you. So there is a particularizing in this ordinance that we have great need of. We can deal with truth in general, but to take it for myself is a great need. And that is the sense of, you know, you don't put, you know, the bread or the wine in a generic mouth, do you? It's my mouth. It's my mouth. We don't have multiple mouths. We have two eyes and two ears, but we only have one mouth. And that is what is expected here. It's a very particular reception. He says, for you. He has made propitiation. And lastly, he speaks of the blood of the covenant as well. This cup is the blood of the covenant. It was not a bloodless death. There was not merely a symbolic death that was coming. That was a real death. Real blood, both in the suffering prior with scourgings and so on, and then on the cross from many wounds. It was a bloody death. And we're reminded again in the book of Hebrews that, if I can put it this way, and I think it's useful, that a bloody death calls for a bloody life. In Hebrews 12, where he says, you haven't yet resisted sin, he says, to bloodshed. In other words, the Lord Jesus endured the onslaught of sinners against himself and looked to the Father and remained true to the Father and witnessed the good witness and obeyed to the end. And it cost him bloodshed. And the onslaught of evil against the believer is not particularly to the same extremity, but it has the same timbre, the same reality. The world and the flesh and the devil are the same. The hatred of man is the same. Our flesh hates us with the same cruel hatred as the Lord Jesus was hated. And we have a persevering look at the Lord Jesus, at what he has given us in glory, to persevere toward him and to obey in the same extreme fashion. So in the same fashion as there was a once for all sacrifice and a many time reception, we have the same thing given to us in life, if you will, a once for all sacrifice, but a repeated dealing with, if you will. The apostle gives us this kind of picture in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 21 to 24. He says, if indeed you have been taught in him, there is a real character of that which is taught in the Lord Jesus. That we should not obey the flesh, but follow after him in the Spirit. This is effective. It's real. And just as it was necessary for the Lord Jesus to follow, it's necessary for us to follow. And it has its own kind of death, doesn't it? A lot of little deaths. If you put to death sin in your members, Paul says in Romans 8. That's necessary. It's necessary. And it occurs by faith, by the Spirit. And so in the same manner, we receive here. We receive that which has been given, which is I'm dying, receive that from me. We receive from him life and following. As the apostle says in Ephesians 4, you've been taught by him. This is a reality. Walk that way. And so we receive here again today and say, this is for me. This is what I have need of. I will receive and be strengthened by faith.